This is Tim Blake with Delicious Agony Progressive Rock Radio, and I am talking today with Mike Portnoy of Dream Theater as part of our Dream Theater Marathon this weekend. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing good.
Great. You guys are on tour with Yes right now. How was your show last night?
Last night we kicked off the tour. It was the first night, and it was great for us. We're playing a one-hour set, so it's a nice summer vacation for us.
Well, that's cool.
Like, I'm barely breaking a sweat before we're done.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the three-hour marathons.
Right, so I guess, yeah, don't really know what to do with yourself after just 1 hour, right?
Well, it's kind of good because then I can kick back and watch Yes for the rest of the night.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about how this tour with Yes came about.
I think it was just suggested, you know, via management and booking agents and things like that. You know, we've made it pretty public that we would have always wanted to tour with them. You know, they're one of only a handful of bands that I always thought that we would really be very compatible with on tour. So, for years we've always put them on the wish list to management when putting together summer packages. So I guess this summer it finally came together.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, here's a question I think a lot of people were wondering when you guys first announced your tour. How are you planning on crafting set lists for this tour? I mean, obviously the Yes crowd is not really a metal crowd.
Yeah, it was actually something that kept me up for many sleepless nights over the past few months. That ultimate set list. And basically, I wrote the set list completely aimed at Yes's audience, because I figured, you know, our audience will be happy with what we play, so I really wanted to aim it towards trying to make some fans within their audience, and obviously they're coming from a much different fan base than what we're used to. Their audience being much older and really maybe not so metal oriented, so it was real important to be conscious of that with the set list. So it's actually, you know, focusing more on the epic songs and the prog songs and less of the metal side, which means that our latest album is almost entirely ignored, you know, because the Train of Thought album was so consciously heavy from start to finish that it really wouldn't be very suitable for this audience.
Right. For those who weren't at the first show, what was your set list last night?
It's mainly stuff from Six Degrees, you know, the title track. Mm-hmm. The show opens and closes with that. Why am I giving this away? Then?
Well, no, I'm asking about last night.
Well, I guess everybody knows the stuff once it's on the internet.
Exactly.
It's mainly just focusing on the prog-ier epic, more melodic side of Dream Theater.
Okay, that's fine.
Fans will see when they come out, or, you know, they can read about it online. But I don't like giving away too much stuff.
Is this getting to be a tradition for DT now, touring the world, doing a night with Dream Theater shows, and then later in the year going out with another band?
Well, it seems to have been the pattern for the last 3 years or so now, but, once we start becoming predictable, then that's the that's time to actually break the rule and change it up again. So, you know, I don't know how long this pattern will continue, but it seems to have been the pattern now for several years.
Well, I don't think anybody has complained, you know, with having seen King's X, Fate's Warning, Joe Satriani, Queensryche, and now Yes with you guys. Nobody's really uttering any complaints.
It's really the best of both worlds for us, because we get to spend half the time doing our thing and playing our three-hour show to our audience, and then we get to roll through the States again in the summertime with some sort of package, which is, you know, really showcasing many great, diverse bands. And of course, we've always been concerned about, you know, associating ourselves with quality acts, and these last 3 years have surely held up that tradition.
Yeah, I think so as well. Speaking of touring, how was the Train of Thought tour?
It was great. In every respect, it was our biggest and best tour yet, and you know, the set lists were so diverse from night to night. Every night people were getting different stuff, and you know, different cover songs and special treats, and the stage show, you know, the video show and the production that we were carrying was the biggest we've had yet. And in fact, that's one of the reasons we actually haven't gone back through these markets a second and third time. Usually on previous tours we'll do, you know, two headlining runs to the States and three to four headlining runs through Europe. This time out, you know, between January and April, we've really felt like we gave all of these every night. They were getting 3+ hours of music and this really great stage show, and we kind of felt like we blew our load, you know, our first runs of all these markets. So, you know, that's why we kind of never came back through a second time with an evening with, because we felt like we really did our job thoroughly the first time.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Did you have any moments during the tour where something happened that made you think, well, now I've seen it all?
Oh, God, every time I get asked that question, I'm on the spot. I always get asked, you know, the Spinal Tap moments and stuff like that.
Well, and I'm not so much, you know, ask it as far as what happened with you guys, but, for instance, I heard a story that maybe someone went out of a balcony one time.
Oh, actually, that's a good example.
Okay.
Yeah, that was just horrific, actually. That was in St. Louis, and, you know, all these years I've traditionally thrown out sticks and heads to the audience, and just one guy went reaching for it on the balcony and fell off the balcony.
Oh, my God.
And that was horrific. You know, suddenly you could hear a pin drop. The entire place just gasped, and the music was turned off, and the house lights came on, and thank God he's okay. He was just drunk, and he landed on somebody and actually caught the head and ran out, but the guy he landed on got really badly injured.
Oh, boy.
Backstage, and made sure he was okay, but ever since then, I don't throw any sticks or heads into the audience anymore. So.
How about that?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, thank God he was okay.
Oh, absolutely. But that's, yeah, that's definitely one of those now I really have seen it all moments.
I think we have seen it all. All these years, Mike, I mean, just all, you know, I've fallen off the stage several times and, you know, dislocated my wrist on stage and thrown my back out on stage. And, you know, we've had things blow up and, you know, just, you know, through all the years of touring, you really do get to see it all.
All right. You guys will be releasing a live DVD from that tour on October 5th that was filmed at the Budokan.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that show and what it was like playing there.
Well, first of all, playing at the Budokan was really, you know, special, because that's a legendary place. And, you know, I talk about it on the video, but on the DVD, but, you know, the Beatles played there, and so many legendary live albums were recorded there. And, you know, it's just a place with so much rock history that, you know, it was really special to be playing there. And then it was a perfect time to film to the DVD, because that was one of the very, very last headlining shows after, you know, being out for 4 months straight doing the Evening With shows. So I think we were really at the pinnacle of our, you know, delivery and performance at that point, having been doing it for so many months. And it was really kind of a nice finale to, you know, those Evening With shows. And everything about it, I've been working on the DVD for months, but I just showed it to the guys on the bus last night. It was their first time seeing it, so we actually just watched the whole thing last night, and everybody was just blown away. It's by far the best, you know, product DVD that we've released. You know, just the quality of the video and the audio and everything about it is just the best we've ever done.
Awesome. What point in the tour did you guys decide, we're going to do a live DVD and we're going to do it there?
Real early on, I was talking with our management that, you know, it was time for another one. I was pretty sure on the World Turbulence tour that I didn't want to do another live album, because we had just done one after Scenes, and we just done one, you know, the tour before that after Falling Into Infinity. So I knew that the last tour wasn't the right time, but once this tour started and we had this this really great production, it became obvious real early on that it was definitely time to do another one. And then I just talked with our management about it, and, you know, we saw the Budokan on the upcoming itinerary, and it seemed that it was the perfect place, and so we put it into motion.
Outstanding. You've been very candid with your belief that Train of Thought is a masterpiece. Do you still feel that way almost a year after its release?
Absolutely. In fact, last night as we watched the Budokan DVD, I even said to those guys, you know, it was the end of the show, the encore was In the Name of God, and I think 5 out of 7 songs from Train of Thought are on the Budokan DVD, and I even said to those guys, like, man, I mean, the Train of Thought album is just so fucking perfect, man.
Right.
We're so proud of it. I mean, it's just riff after riff after riff. I mean, I think we nailed what we set out to do with that album. And what we set out to do with that album isn't necessarily everybody's taste. So I know that it's a bit of a controversial album because it's so heavy and brutal. So maybe the prog purists have trouble swallowing it. But, I mean, it was always our intention with that album, from start to finish, just to make it a heavy, classic album. And even a year later, listening to it last night on the, you know, on the DVD, we were, you know, proud that we really felt we achieved what we set out to do with it.
Right. How have the sales been with that album?
I guess good. I don't know. I don't pay attention to that stuff. That's a better question for or a record company.
Somebody else did. You have one more album left on your Electric contract. Is that right?
Yeah, but actually it will be Atlantic because the label went through all these changes, and now I think Elektra doesn't exist as we know it, so the final record on our contract will be under the Atlantic imprint.
Have you guys discussed what's going to happen after that?
We've discussed possibilities, but obviously until we get to that point, you know, we're not going to clearly know what our options are.
Well, sure.
But we are definitely looking forward to having a fresh, clean slate to work with. You know, we've been under this contract. The contract that we're currently under, we signed when we were, 21, 22 years old or whatever, however old we were. And, you know, basically it was the start of our career. We had no leverage. We had no success under our belt. So, you know, we're still working off a contract that we signed when we were practically kids. So now we're looking forward to, having some options available to us with whatever we do next.
Now, was that originally what, a 6 or 7 album contract?
A 7-album deal, yeah. They don't count live albums and EPs, so essentially from Images and Words up until our next studio album will be 7 studio albums for them.
Is that pretty typical of record contracts that you sign that many?
At least it was back in 1991 when we signed it. I don't know if it is today.
Right.
Maybe it's not today, but when we signed back then, you know, we were happy at all to be offered anything.
Sure.
We were excited at the idea. Wow, you know, we could possibly do 7 albums with them. You know, to us that was a serious plus.
Sure, absolutely. Speaking of a new album, with as much touring as you did and as many sound checks that went along with that, have you guys started writing anything new?
No, we almost never write on tour. Usually any ideas we've had that have come up on tour usually happen maybe towards the end of the tour. As we know, we're getting ready to start a new album, but now that we're ending on this leg with Yes, that means our sound check time will be pretty limited from night to night, so we'll be pretty much coming into the next recording sessions with a completely clean slate to work with.
Oh, cool. Do you plan to do any writing this year, or are we going to have to wait until next year?
We're going to start as soon as this tour ends, actually. So we'll be in the studio before the end of this year.
How about that? That's good stuff. Let's talk about your work outside of Dream Theater. You did drums for Neil Morse's second CD. What was that like?
It was great. And actually, just to clarify that, it's actually his fourth solo CD because he did have two while he was still in Spock's Beard.
Right, yeah. I guess what I was talking about is since the Spock's Beard.
Right. Yeah, but anyway, we had a great time, and, you know, I love Neil. He's one of my favorite songwriters in the world, whether or not I'm friends with him. You know, even just as a fan, he's one of my favorites in the world, and, you know, I really treasure the relationship we have, both personally and musically, and I'm always honored to continue that relationship with him. And doing this new record with him was exciting for me because he opened the door to collaboration once again, a la, you know, Transatlantic. When we did Transatlantic, we did a lot of collaboration, but when we did Testimony, it was a very personal project for him, and it was basically his album, and I played drums on it. But this latest one, we worked on a lot of it together. He and myself and Randy George on bass. So,
cool.
It's got a lot of that Transatlantic feel to it because we worked on a lot of the stuff together.
Do you plan to go on tour with him like you did with Testimony?
If I can, I'd love to. It's just all kind of schedule permitting, really.
Right. Well, that's cool. What is it like for you to work with Neil that he's now that he's taken such a strong religious stance?
Really, that's his business. I'm happy to be there for him as a friend and as a musical collaborator, and I love the music that I've been lucky enough to play with him. As far as his lyrical message, I have no objection to it, and not necessarily my leanings,
right.
religious, but you know, I have absolutely no problem with it, and I really respect, you know, how passionate he is about that, you know.
Well, that's cool.
I could also, you know, I could be doing the testimony tour 1 year with him, and then another year I could be playing in a band like Slayer, you know. Who knows, you know, I just go mainly for the music.
I see, that's fine. Rowan Stolt recently said that he would love to do another transatlantic album. Do you see that as a possibility?
That's up to Neil. I've always said as long as Neil didn't want to do it, I would never do it without him. And if Neil ever wanted to do it again, then I think we would probably all be gung-ho. But I wonder if he would ever want to do it again, because I think right now his priority is writing music with Christian, you know, leanings. And, you know, although what we're doing musically is very similar to Transatlantic, a lot of people wonder, well, if me and him could work together and make this music for his albums, why can't we just do Transatlantic? The difference is that I don't think Roina and Pete would necessarily agree, or myself would agree with Transatlantic carrying that Christian message lyrically.
Right.
So, you know, that's where Neil is at right now, and, you know, it's up to him where he wants to go in the future.
Okay, cool. You've done work with so many different artists. Who would you still like to work with that you haven't yet?
That's a good question, you know, because I really feel so incredibly fulfilled with the amount of people and musicians I've been fortunate enough to work with all these years. And, you know, cases like Transatlantic and OSI and Yellow Matter Custard and Hammer of the Gods, those were opportunities for me to kind of put together dream bands and lineups. Even Liquid Tension started as that.
Right.
And so I've really gone down that list. I would love to work with Daniel Gilmore in an original capacity. You know, he and I did Hammer of the Gods together, but I would love to work with Daniel in that capacity, and maybe Stephen Wilson as well is another one I would love to work with, you know, that I'm friends with. And then there's the legends, but those, you know, all the legendary people, you know, the Geddy Lees and the Roger Waters, and, you know, those aren't realistic collaborators, but those, of course, are the dream, that's the dream team, you know,
right.
Like that.
Sure. Well, I know one, for instance, have you ever given any thought to doing a little side project with perhaps Derek Sherinian?
Derek and I have talked about it, actually, yeah. In fact, we had something that we almost pursued last year, and I was presented with something from him, and I was also presented with doing the testimony tour with Neil, and they both coincided at the same time, so I opted to do the testimony tour. So the talks with Derek kind of got put on the shelf at that time, but we'll see if it ever gets taken back off the shelf in the future.
Well, that's cool. The only reason I ask is I interviewed Derek, I guess it was last March, and he said he would not be surprised at all if he had done a side project with you in the near future.
Yeah, I'm always open to that. I have really good relationships with him and all of our former members. I hold no grudges, and there's no burned bridges with any of those relationships. It's all good.
That's cool. Speaking of that, is there any chance of another OSI project?
Tim Mateus has recently brought it up to me, and I guess, first of all, it's scheduled permitting it, you know, but I'd have to look at, you know, the possibilities. In a way, I loved the first album, but it was, I don't feel that I was able to contribute as much to that project as I would have liked. As soon as Kevin got involved, the whole kind of tone of the project shifted from what the initial discussions kind of led me to believe it was going to believe. So, led me to believe what it would be. So, we'll see. I know there's talk about it, and if the conditions are right and if my schedule is available, then you know, I'll consider it.
That's cool. I wonder if you have any thoughts about the fact that the changes that Fates Warning is going through now as well. Specifically with Mark Zonder leaving.
Well, Mark's a great drummer, but I know those guys very, very closely on a personal level, and therefore it doesn't surprise me that they're parting ways with Mark, because I know, you know, Mark's relationship with the rest of the guys has been a little distant through the years. So I think their reasons for splitting are, you know, more private and behind the scenes, you know, between them, but I happen to know what that dynamic is, so it's hard to say that it doesn't surprise me.
Right, that's fine. I guess a lot of us weren't very surprised that might, or when the announcement was made, we weren't surprised because of the fact that so much of the tour with Fates last year happened without Mark Zonder.
Right.
And so I guess it wasn't much of a surprise. This tour with Yes ends on the 22nd of September in Mexico, which is really cool that you're actually getting to go down to Monterey. Do you have anything else planned between then and the end of the year, or other than, you know, you said you're going to go in the studio, or are you going to try and also take some time to stay at home and catch up on movies?
Yeah, well, actually, I've had a little bit of time over the summer. We purposely gave ourselves some time off after the Budokan show, so I've had some time to catch up on my movies. I'm ready to rock.
All right.
So we'll see what happens. And after this Yes tour, you know, we're talking about getting right back in the studio, and if that doesn't happen right away, there's maybe the possibility of doing some live shows with Neil, as his album will probably be coming out around then. So we'll see as we get closer.
That's cool. You've been a New Yorker all your life, that is, up until now.
Mm-hmm.
You live in Pennsylvania now. Oh, sorry. You live somewhere in the Northeast now.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about why you left New York.
I don't know. I think me and my wife just wanted to get out of there and build a house someplace with a little more land and a little more privacy. And, you know, it's still very, I'm still very close to Manhattan. And, you know, you could take me out of New York, but you'll never take the New York out of me.
That's pretty cool. You told me a bit about your theater when we spoke at Nearfest.
Right.
Can you give those of us, those who are listening, a little bit of a description about your brand new home movie theater?
Oh, I got this awesome movie theater built in my house, and that's why Dream Theater has been cutting back on all the touring, because I want to be home watching movies. It's really cool. It's got three rows of stadium seating, and I'm a film fanatic, so my biggest love is DVDs and laser discs and videos and stuff like that, and my collection is just ridiculous. I mean, like, blows Blockbuster out of the water.
That's out of control. When you do begin work on the next album, do you plan to use your Siamese Monster again, or have you been thinking about another drum set?
I have been thinking about whether or not I should get another kit. I mean, the pattern has been to do two albums and two tours with the same kit. So that would mean that maybe it would be time for a change, but I'm really enjoying this kit, so I'm considering maybe keeping it on for one more album and tour, but we'll see.
Yeah, it seems like it's the kind of the conclusion of all your...
I don't know where the hell I can go after this.
Yeah, four bass drums?
Second or third floor with an elevator built in or something.
I don't know what you could do. That's just incredible stuff. Finally, can you tell us what we can expect from you in the next 6 months?
I think basically, you know, kind of what we just laid out. I think we'll probably focus on getting that next Dream Theater album worked on, and that'll consume us, you know, through the end of this year and well into next year, and that'll be the focus.
Well, very good. We can't wait. Hey, Mike, thanks for your time today. We sure appreciate you coming in for the interview.
No problem.
And for those of you that are still listening, stay tuned. We got more Dream Theater music and Dream Theater-related music on the line during this marathon.
Awesome. Thank you, man.